This meeting is now being recorded.
Oh, someone reminded me that I haven't recording and started recording. Thank you for that. Our agenda for today include one session with welcome and opening remarks and a story update. Then we go to discussion on registry services, and we'll close with any other business. Is there any other business that does someone wish to add now to or last part of our agenda? Going once, going twice, no takers, so we keep the agenda as it is for now. So we move to slide 3. It contains things that we already going to welcome when opening remarks. And I need to ask if anyone has a statement of interest update that we have to discuss on the phone call. Seeing no hands, hearing no one. Let's move to our main objective for the session today will be about registry services. So we can go to slide 5, which is just a recollection of what we already seen many other calls, that this part of the evaluation is mainly used as, to collect information to build what is known in the current agreement as Exhibit A, approved services. It could be less useful than in the 2012 round in face of a registry service provider program, where most of the evaluation, technical evaluation becomes part of the service provider evaluation, not the applicant evaluation, but it still could have merit, and that's why we're discussing it. We need also to take into account that there are undergoing discussions about the registry services policy, notably its implementation, going towards streamlining its implementation for thousands of registries, which is different from previous day where the registry stakeholder group have 14, as in 1-4 members. And the description of registry services is also seen as a possible source of innovation, although that was not seen so far. So, Frank is typing, but she hasn't finished yet, and when she does, I can read out loud what she's typing. But while that, Frank has posted, on additional, that if an RFP program exists in subsequent rounds, new registry service would have to be applied for by the registry service provider. So we can go now to slide 6, which contains one of the 4 straw persons that we'll go by today. This is straw person number 1. It says that applicants will be allowed but not required to specify additional registry services beyond base Exhibit A services, which includes DNS on publication, registry data directory services, more commonly known as WIS, EPP, which is the protocol that integrates registries and registrars, and these are all required in the agreement to be provided. So applicants would be allowed, but not required to specify any services beyond that. Previously approved registry services would be included by reference in guidebook and the contract. And when applicants inform additional registry services, those would be evaluated through RCEP at evaluation time or contracting time at applicant's discretion. We already went through this extra person, but let's see what Jeff has in mind to ask. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks. I'm just asking, and I'd like to spend some time. I'm not sure Trang actually is by a phone. That's why she's typing. But I don't understand the comment that says that if there is an RSP program, new registry services would have to be approved by the RSP. I'm not sure I understand. I think because my understanding is registry services are not personal, but are unique or can be unique to a particular TLD. And so, like, if you just look at some of the registry services that have been applied for, including things like, I don't know, bundling, or including things, you know, Amazon had a couple new types of services. I agree that there might be input needed from an RSP, but it would seem to me that those new registry services would be applied for by the registry as opposed to, or sorry, the registry operator as opposed to the RSP. So it's, okay, see, so I'm looking at Trang's answer. She says the RSP would be the one delivering the registry service, and I'm not sure that's the case, Trang. I think in some cases, a registry service can be delivered by a registry operator or even someone apart from the registry service provider. I could think of, for example, someone wanted to add a new mechanism of authenticating registrants that has nothing to do with the RSP other than perhaps the RSP enters or the registrar has to put a token into the registry system that the RSP reads. But I'm not sure that it's I'm not sure that that's a correct statement that it would be the RSP that applies for the registry service.
Thanks, Jeff. That's Rubens again. I'd like to add that one part of the registry services policy also deals with competition assessment. So that part wouldn't need to be evaluated for the registry operator, not the registry service provider. But I believe Trang is looking at the other angle of the registry service policy. I believe that's more of a discussion for the RSP program, which is, don't remember which word, right? But let's get back to our flow. And had a question in the chat that Jeff was saying that registry operator can offer a new service and would it not be the back-end provider of registry service who applies? But she seems to be satisfied with Jeff's answers in the chat. So I move to slide 7, which contains the straw person number 2. This straw person was already adopted by some of the comments, recent comments in the WorkTrack for mailing list. It now says that applicants should provide name of all registry services to be provided. Applicants acknowledge that ICANN may establish 2 application evaluation tracks, which operate separately, one for applications which propose new registry services and one for applications which contain only a list of pre-approved services. And that descriptions for the non-pre-approved services should include both technical and business components of each proposed service and address any potential security or stability concerns. So, first question is, Is there any correction to what straw person should read based on and what you read from what was in the mailing list? Is this an accurate description of that proposal? Anne, please go ahead.
Yes, Rubens, thank you. I just wanted to note, this is Anne for the transcript. I just wanted to note that the bottom paragraph is, I believe, the language that's already contained in question 23 and in application, new GTLT application. If that's wrong, someone could correct me, but I believe that I took that language straight from the 2012 round. And I just also wanted to mention that, of course, if there's a on the list of pre-approved services, but if the registry is proposing new services, it wouldn't be required to reiterate all the details for a pre-approved service, because that would just be silly. So if that's not clear by this, then it should be amended in that manner, because a pre-approved service, you know, is a pre-approved service, and you don't have to turn cartwheels to describe it all over again. Thank you.
Thanks, Anne. This is Rubens again. Actually, the last paragraph was changed to reflect what you mentioned, that only non-pre-approved services should be described. So I believe it now reflects what you mentioned. As if it's what in the 2012 round, we have another straw person coming, straw person number 4, which is exactly the language from AGB from the 2012 round. And I believe it's a bit different, but we can check that when we get to straw person number 4. So, Jeff, please go ahead. Jeff, if you are talking, we can. At least I can hear you. It seems nobody can hear Jeff for now. So while Jeff goes through its audio issues.
Can you guys hear me now?
Now we can hear you very low, like you are in a bottle or something.
Oh. Okay. Sorry, I'll try to make it louder. I have a question on the last item. It says, additional registry services evaluation should not extend the evaluation process and is likely to extend the contract negotiation process. Should we just end it at, I mean, I don't think we should talk about the contract negotiation process because we don't know if it's going to extend that process. I'm still on straw person number 3. Sorry.
And Jeff, we are still straw person number 2. Straw person number 3 is our next item.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought you were talking that you were just going to go to 4. All right. I got lost. Sorry. On 3.
No, I was just making a comparison to 4 since Anne mentioned the current 2012.
Got it. Okay. So consider my comment in advance of number 3. I think it should just end at additional registry services evaluation should not extend the evaluation process, period.
Yes.
Anyway, thanks.
So we can go now to straw person number 3, taking Jeff's lead on that. which reads that applicants will be allowed but not required to specify additional registry services. Registry service that can be included, that service that can be included at any time and are already approved are IDN registrations, certain additional marketplace rights protection mechanisms like blocks, and bulk transfer after partial portfolio acquisition. If the application includes additional registry service, the applicant has to specify whether it wants those services should be evaluated in parallel with its application evaluation, during the contract negotiation execution process, or after the contract, after contract signed. I can use the RCEP policy and process for evaluating, for evaluation of additional services. Timing, additional registry evaluation should not extend the evaluation process, but it's likely to extend the original registration process. And answering to Jeff, I believe that who proposed this proposal number three thought of the option of the RCEP of the registered service being evaluated at contracting time, which would cause a delay in its contracting process, because if it was evaluated during application time, it's probably likely to not extend. So just suggest to may extend the contract negotiation process is probably more reflective of what the original intent of straw person number three. So besides that, any other comments or questions on straw person number three? Anne, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Ruben. This is Anne for the transcript. I'm still of the opinion that this type of structure discourages disclosure of new services at the point of application. And, you know, I mean, there are a couple of reasons for that. I mean, some people might feel, well, hey, that's a good idea because we really don't want people to have to disclose something that could be a, you know, considered a competitive advantage when they are applying, you know, the new service they plan to offer, but they really don't want all the other applicants to know about it. Nevertheless, and I think it, I mean, I think it encourages, you know, well, my application is going to go through faster if I don't propose any new services. And, you know, speed of application processing was a big issue last time. I'm still very much in favor of disclosure personally so the community can comment on the application. I certainly agree with the principle that it, when you propose new services, it shouldn't slow down evaluation because the whole point of this unlimited GTLD program is innovation. I know others have said, well, if you have to disclose it, it discourages innovation. But I don't like the idea that, you know, you feel like, well, if I don't tell the community what I'm really going to do with this TLD, it's going to get approved and contracted for a lot faster. And then I can go through the RSEP process, and that is not subject to public comment. Thank you.
Thanks, Anne. Now, Jeff, please go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks. And for anyone that's used the RCEP process, they will tell you that it is much more painful to use that process than to initially disclose something and then, you know, just ask Donuts or others that put stuff in their initial application and were able to roll it out, whereas people that proposed it later on were not. But there is a public comment. If there is a security and stability issue, there is a public comment period. Plus, it
it goes through other types of evaluations. If there's not a security or stability issue, at this point in time, I believe that if it requires a contractual amendment, then it will require a public comment period, at least on the amendment itself. So I'm not sure it's a correct statement to say that it will not go through public comment period. So I actually think this straw person is, it won't discourage innovation any more than, it won't discourage disclosure any more than disclosure is already discouraged by the nature of having anything and everything become public, thereby potentially getting rid of your first mover advantage with your new innovative service.
Thanks, Jeff. I think that Martin is agreeing with you in the chat. And now we can give you a much better voice than mine, which is Cheryl's voice. So please go ahead, Cheryl, for the rest of our meetings.
Thank you very much. And I'm metaphorically on bended knee apologizing for my inability to get an internet connection, let alone a phone connection for the call. That said, I shall calm down. Cheryl Langenor for the record, and I gather we are just finishing with slide 8, is that correct? Okay, great. So if we all take ourselves now to straw person number 4, which is the current implementation, we can spend the next few minutes looking at and discussing that. As it says here, the current implementation is that ICANN will review the applicant's proposed registry services for any possible adverse impact on security or stability. The application will be required to provide up to proposed registry services in its application. It goes on to say, proposed registry services will be examined to determine if they might raise significant stability or security issues. I'm assuming that will be plural, but it could be singular. And while not written in the applicant guidebook, registry services were also compared to technical questions and financial questions by evaluators. So with that, and I'm trying not to use terminology like status quo, but clearly the current implementation would be an appropriate thing to call our fallback position. And with that, let's open up a queue and take some questions and discussions on this. Yes, just to be clear, the comment, which was the last thing, whilst not written in the applicant guidebook, registry services were also compared to technical questions and financial questions by evaluators. That is not a statement that one would have found in the applicant guidebook. It is probably something that people were unaware of until it happened. Anne, please, go ahead. The floor is yours.
Yes, thank you, Cheryl. It's Anne again. I wonder, I'm not recognizing or seeing here the full text of question 23 in the application. Could we have that? Could we have, because I mean that seems to be part of straw person number 4 would be that, as Rubens noted on the list, policy and implementation remain the same, and this says current implementation, but I don't see the text of question 23. Thank you.
Lots of I unmute myself. Cheryl again for the record. Yes, we can. It's not in the slide deck. We would need to hope that our ever-efficient staff can quickly find a copy and either put it into chat or put it up on screen. Probably the chat option is as good as any. But in response to that, Rubens, I'm wondering if you would like to react in terms of the question 23. Excellent, we have it. Here we go. So, Anne, without me trying to filibust, which is exactly what I was trying to do, Jeff, in his ever-efficient way, has put it into chat. But let's read it for the record, shall we? Provide, and this is question 23, provide name and full description of all registry services. Makes it very difficult if it moves as I'm trying to read it, people. To be provided. Description should include both technical and business components of each proposed service and address any potential security or stability concerns. The following registry services are customary services offered by a registry operator. A receipt of data from registrars concerning registration of domain names and name servers. Dissemination of TLD's own files. Dissemination of contact or other information concerning domain name registrations, example port 53 WHOIS, web-based WHOIS, RESTful WHOIS service. Internationalized domain names where offered. DNS security extension, DNSSEC. The applicant must describe whether any of these registry services are intended to be offered in a manner unique to the TLD additional proposed registry services. So that's, for the record, what question 23 asks. And I trust you're okay now that we have that to share, and I'm now going to go to Jeff, who has tested my eyesight in the extreme by unmoving chat with that text. Over to you, Jeff.
Yeah, sorry about that, Cheryl. I did a cut and paste from a PDF document, and the formatting did not come out so great. The question, the one of the reasons why some of us are right at this question not remain is because every other question that follows it actually asks you to describe how you're going to provide the services in detail. This is kind of an overarching big picture question, saying how are you going to do it differently. But if you looked at questions 24, 25, 26, 27, etc., they ask you in detail to describe exactly how you're going to provide it, and those are the ones that are scored. So even if you took out this question, you still will get the answers in much more detail in following questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Cheryl, for the record. Anne, over to you.
Yes, thank you, Cheryl. It's Anne again for the transcript. It sounds as though whoever proposed straw person 4 is not proposing that things remain the same, if you will. It sounds as though what Jeff is saying is, well, in straw person 4, we'd like to talk about implementation, but we don't want to agree to the questions that are actually in the current AGB because that has other implications. Now, if that's the case, I think that in order to properly understand straw person 4, we would have to take a deeper look at the questions that the proposer of straw person 4 wants to eliminate and talk about the considerations that Jeff has brought to the fore with respect to the detail, et cetera, because I don't think we can, you know, properly consider that straw person 4 without looking at the AGB language. And actually, I have that comment with in relation to a lot of the things we're discussing, but this one in particular as well. Ruben keeps pointing out that this is a direct quote, but we're really not talking about question 23 through, I guess Jeff is saying, through 27 at all. We're not really talking about those. Jeff just said that we don't want question 23, but I do.
Thank you. You've made your point clear. Jeff is indicating in chat that isn't what he is saying. So let's go back to Jeff now. Jeff, over to you.
Yeah, no, I think what I was saying is that straw person four is basically keep everything the way it is in the guidebook. And if that were to be the case, I would come back and still say that question 23 is not needed for the pre-approved services, if we have any, because all of the pre-approved services, the implementation of how one is going to do that is described in questions 24 through 27 and 32 and a whole bunch of other questions. So all I'm saying is, if someone is not proposing any new registry services, there's no need to keep question 23 in there. But yes, there is a need to keep the other questions in there to describe exactly how you are going to implement things like ThickWhois or DNSSEC or EPP and what schemas you're going to use and how you're going to do your IDN tables and all the other stuff. It's still being answered as to how you're doing it. You just don't need question 23 that says that you are going to do it, if that makes sense.
Thank you, Jeff. Cheryl, for the record. Now, Anne, you indicated that you wanted to keep question 23. Hopefully it's clear to everyone that the straw person four isn't actually tied permanently into a reduction of question 23, but rather that Jeff, and I suspect perhaps others, would propose that we can have a discussion in addition to this straw person that looks at the efficiencies of reducing duplicative questions, and particularly where the questioning later in the opinion of those who've gone at least through it, the exercise, as Jeff and others of you have, may very well allow for more detailed information than any data capture from question 23. Now, I want to come back to you because you indicated that you did want to keep question 23, and I think the group would like to hear why now, based on what Jeff has said, you think that's the case, that it's important, in which case it would be a status quo argument if we were to look at straw person four. Back to you, Anne.
Well, I didn't realize, and this is Dan again for the transcript, I didn't really realize that Jeff's comment related only to the new idea of having a list of pre-approved services. I thought he was saying, well, question 23 is unnecessary. I really like the broad scope of question 23. I think that new services should be disclosed in the application and that question 23 is quite relevant for the proposal of new services. So I won't run on and on since I'm apparently talking too long, other than to say, you know, we don't have that many people on the call either. And that's a little bit of concern. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne Cheryl, for the record. I'm afraid that's simply a consequence of the multi-stakeholder model that we use. Not everyone gets to be on every call or is motivated to do so, but one of the safety nets is, of course, nothing is ever decided on a single call. We always take things back to the list and things should go through several readings before anyone could even suggest that we were making any form of consensus call on any matter. So I think we're in the we can but try. Certainly I am in that school of thought. That said, I think what we might be doing, if I follow your drift correctly there, Anne, is perhaps circling with some diminishing returns, the individual discussion of these straw persons. So if I can encourage you now to move to slide 10, which is where we start over slide 10 and 11, to look at some of the comparison options here. Now, I want to say that there has only been very minor changes to this slide, and it is a slide that those of you who've looked through the slide deck before will feel is predominantly familiar, but of course with the additions of things like draw person 4 in there, appropriate adjustments needed to be made. So let's make sure that we're all first of all comfortable with the new edits to this, as I don't want anybody working on the older slide deck when they're thinking about our comparison notes here. So I'm certainly happy to continue penance for my late arrival, and if you can stand my dulcet tones, read this for the record as well. This is a first of two slides. The first is that number one and number three straw persons are similar to each other. Anne, sorry, you have your hand up. Did you want to respond before we move into a reading?
Oh, I'm sorry, Cheryl. I had a comment on the last point, and I think I should just wait until you read everything through, and then I'll wait. Thank you.
It's all right, Anne. You've got the microphone now. If it refers to the last slide, let's wrap it up. Go ahead.
Hi. Okay, it's Anne. Both on the list and also in this call before you were able to join, regarding the last point that says that 1 and 3 only require applicant to inform registry service not in the pre-approved list, while 2 requires all services to be informed. I guess what we're now saying is, so this has been corrected now so that number 2 requires all services to be informed. Number 2, you only, if it says that you only describe new services in detail, it's correct. So additional services means new services, right? I guess that last point, if it said only new services, then maybe I'd understand it better.
Thanks, Anne. And just for those who wondered, the reference point there was at the end of slide 11 of this slide deck. And as I was attempting to ensure, what we want to make sure is, because there have been some edits onto these two, that we're all clear on what they say. And if you don't mind, Anne, if you could put the suggestion of noting that in your view, it should specifically call out that it's new services in the chat, then we won't lose that in terms of notes and records. This is very much first reading on now this modified slide 10 and 11 set. So back to the top of the page, it indicates that numbers 1 and numbers 3 are similar to each other. It also indicates that number 2 and number 4 are also similar, except for pre-approved services and the need to describe business aspects in number 2. Pause there for a moment. If you need to make a comment, just pop up your hand or make a noise. Okay, moving on. Numbers 1, 2, 3 and 4 are not that different overall, except for number 4 not having pre-approved services, and for number 2, requiring business feature descriptions in some cases. I'm going to pause for a moment. It goes on. Number 3 still mentions an after-signature possible timing, which would put this work group out of its charter. It's covered by RCEP policy, in brackets. Goes on to say number 2 and 3 has guidance on timing and processing of applications in tracks where number one is silent on this matter. Subpoint to that is, in practice, number one creates two tracks, since RCEP is an already established procedure, although not making that explicit. Pause there, and I could also encourage you to move to slide 11 while we're pausing. Slide 11 has 2 points, and the second of these 2 points, I note Anne has, thank you very much, put the some additional edits in terms of new into the text, into the chat. So if we're looking at timing for notes, that's where this belongs. On slide 11, number one incorporates a list of pre-approved services by reference, although mentioning some, while number two and three explicitly names a list. Waiting for a moment. Numbers one and three only requires applicant to inform about registry services that are not in the pre-approved list, while number two requires all services to be informed. Although number two only requires naming pre-approved services and to describe only additional services in detail. And Anne's point in chat to read that to the record in context was that the last bullet point, the one I just read, change additional to new in describing the requirements to describe. So the proposal would be that it read and to describe only new services in detail at the close of that sentence. Okay, and hopefully we've made a fair gist of compare and contrast exercise, but let's pause for a moment and see if anyone would like to get in the queue to discuss these attempts, which I think are a very valiant ones, on doing a comparison of the straw persons that we have at this stage. Anne, go ahead, please.
Sure, I was waiting for others, but I'll go ahead and say them again. Slide 10, the first point where we talked about number one incorporates a list of pre-approved services by reference. Slide 11. Number one incorporates a list of pre-approved services by reference, although mentioning some, while number two and three explicitly name a list. Been up for a long time today. So the question I have there is that really a distinction without a difference? It sounds as though there's a lot of consensus on the call about developing a pre-approved list, and whether or not a pre-approved list is incorporated by reference or saying that, you know, a proposal specifically names them, it doesn't strike me as getting the heart of the differences in the straw persons, if you will. That it seems like we want to develop a pre-approved list, and if we think it's better to do it by, you know, incorporating by reference, great, I'm all for that. And that would allow that, to be updated over time. Personally, I'm all for it, and I don't think that's the big point of disagreement among these straw persons. I think the big point of disagreement is really about whether or not you have to name new registry services if you're going to offer them, if they have to be named in the application. Thanks.
Thank you, Anne. Cheryl, for the record. If I can tease out that first point you were making in terms of asking the question to the group as to whether or not they believe the development of a explicit list is merited. I think we probably need to take that, if I can, as we progress through the slides, but also we would definitely need to take that as a question back to the list. So if we could capture in the notes that, that matter that we would certainly need to take that, because it's outside of the first reading on here. I think the friendly amendment of changing the word additional services to new services is a simple thing. We just will agree on that. But I would like to take the time to engage our list in terms of the question with a definitive listing. And a piece of work, of course, that would be. And you'll then have an opportunity on the list to develop the argument, which others can then debate, and we'll bring it up at a future time. So let's move now then, to see how we are, on perhaps being able to, drill down into whether or not we may be able to come to some consensus on any of these points. And wasn't that a waffly sentence? I too have been up for what would be considered by most humans an extraordinarily long time. Here we have a matrix. This is a straw person decision matrix. If there are pre-approved services, all right? So we're trying in these slides to help us further analyse the compare and contrast exercise that we're trying to go through. So let me read this first of all to the record. And I don't believe that we've had a great deal of change in that. But Jeff, I see your hand up. Over to you, Jeff.
Yeah, I just want to clarify that when we say that there's a list of pre-approved services, we are not saying that the applicant does not have to describe how it's providing those services in subsequent questions. We're just saying that if they say they are going to do DNSSEC, that obviously that doesn't have to be asked whether they're going to do it or not, but the how they're going to do it still needs to be evaluated. Is that correct? I'm just making that assumption.
Jeff, that's certainly my understanding, but then again, I'm no expert. I'm a mere internet end user. So I'd be pleased to see the reaction from those who are expert here. Looking for anyone which is wanting to type in. Jeff, back to you again.
Yeah, so I think it seems like from the chat, from what Ruben said and Anne, that, yes, they don't have to say that they're going to do it in a question that's asking them what registry service they're going to do, but certainly they will be technical questions asking them how they're going to implement these services. So if that's the correct understanding, then I think everything after this will be much easier. Thanks.
Terrific. So let's see how we go with this exercise then. And it would appear that this is something that we have gently agreed to as being a fair assumption. Ruben's also notes in the chat that slide 14, which we will get to next, will give more clarity on that if we get to it. I'm trying to, Ruben. I promise I am. But we also would like to, I think, note here Anne's question, which is on this current conversation, which I think is on the example that you gave, Jeff. Her question was, would there be a pre-approved manner of delivering DNSSEC as a, inverted commas, safe harbour, and only describe if you are doing it differently or uniquely? So perhaps, well, seeing Jeff, you were the first to put your hand up. Over to you.
Yeah, thanks. So I would say, again, this is kind of a personal opinion, there are certain protocols that are standard that have to be implemented if you're going to do DNSSEC. But the how and the servers, you, types of servers you use and how often you do key rollover and what the security is around that, all of the other aspects, that is not, there's not just one way to do it. There are multiple ways to do these things. So one could say, yes, it's standard that I'm going to follow the protocols in RFC whatever, but there still are different ways you can implement that protocol.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate that clarification. Is that something that we need to discuss further then, Anne, or are you happy with that? Just indicate in chat if you're happy to do that. I'm very aware about the time here. We only have very few minutes left, and Rubens and I were certainly hoping that we could perhaps try and get some initial polling to take the temperature of the room, but I am painfully aware of the short amount of time we have left to do that. So perhaps if we go question by question rather than, or matrix point by matrix point rather than line by line, if you look to the rest of our slides, we really only have slide 13 and 14, which we need to get through, but I'm hesitant to rush this. So if I can ask the group with the very tight timing, would you prefer for us to ask for a annotated response on the list to each of these questions out of the matrix? This would be a list of pre-approved services preferred to be enumerated, as in straw polls numbers 2 and 3, or by reference, as in straw poll number 4. And we can poll that question separate to enumerate which pre-approved services applicants will be providing. And there's a couple of options there. And the third question is business description required for non-pre-approved services. The required response as linkage or mapping to straw person 2, and not required, but the focus on security and stability with the other 3, 1, 2 and 3. And then there are a number of poll choice questions which we would also like to explore with you on page 14. Slide 14, which again is working on minimum pre-approved services if there are such. So with that, perhaps what I might suggest, with your indulgence, Reuben, because I haven't really discussed this with you as a contingency, if you'd like, we are at the top of the hour now. If you wanted to perhaps just take the first one, which seems to be of major interest for us to see whether we can get an indicator just in this call now, and then we'll move to polling the others through, including this one again, to the list. Let's just take the temperature of the room, just because I want to see some red and green brighten my day. If we can ask the question here, you can all read that there are two options regarding a list of pre-approved services. First option, option A, would be an enumerated option, and this would map to straw polls 2 and 3. The second choice, B, is by reference, and this would map solely to straw person 1. So the question I'm going to ask, to see if we can at least do one polling exercise, and this is a temperature-taking exercise, not a consensus call, is as follows. Please indicate by a green tick if you prefer at this stage that a list of pre-approved services be enumerated by reference. With straw person 1. the Ministry of the Roof Services by reference. Put up a green tick if that is your current preference. I'm not seeing a sea of green. Ah, a few more. Give you plenty of time. Okay. A few more creeping in. Alright. If I was to cast a preference here, it would be in the green field, so you can note that. But I think it's inappropriate for me to poll while I'm chairing. But it seems to me that we can take some heart from an agreement by most of us that are on this call, at least, that the preference is to pre-approve services by reference. That said, what we'll do now is take our leave of each other. I want to thank you all for the amount of time you spent on all of this and look forward to your reactions on the list for our time between now and meeting in Abu Dhabi. Please remember that our next call has been cancelled, so we'll have plenty of time to do this on the list. With that, thank you staff, thank you everyone, and bye for now.